almost every time when a preacher introduces his evangelist, he will do exactly what your pastor did. He'll give his name. They're always very kind, say it's an honor to have him speak to us in the service. And then you'll notice he took a couple of steps that way and merely extended his hand. I guess you could say that's courtesy, and maybe it is, but it's more than that. For the next while, he just turned his pulpit over to me. Class hand. That man of God will answer in heaven someday for what goes out over this pulpit. And I'm honored that he had enough confidence in Brother Bagwell to say, this is yours for this morning service. Means a lot. And I do not take that responsibility lightly. I want to do my best under the Lord. I want to feed this pastor's flock, his people, during this time together. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 8, if you would please, Psalm 8. It's not long, is it?
No.
Only has 9 verses. And as an evangelist, say we got this morning and tonight, Lord willing, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that's 5 sermons. And it is in my heart to preach through this psalm in those 5 sermons. And I mean by that all the way through. I intend, with the Lord's help, that's the only way anybody can do it, to discuss every single word. Every single word.
Amen.
In Psalm 8. I want this to be a revival, and knowing your pastor, everyone, revival here will be that way. I want this to be a revival where the Word of God
Amen.
Is exalted.
Yes.
Oh, there's stories about my life I could tell you, and I would enjoy it, but I'm not going to make this something about me this week.
Amen.
I want it to be about our text. This chapter of Scripture. Psalm 8. It is, we say Psalm 8, it is at least this, a chapter of the Word of God. It's a whole chapter. The Bible has 1,189 chapters. Try to remember that number. Let it stick in your mind. 1189. That's going from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And here's the beauty of this week. And you can't do it every week. We're going to cover an entire chapter, one of those 1,189 in its entirety. All the wealth of a chapter of Scripture.
Amen.
I probably ought to say this Monday night or Tuesday night when there'll be probably some young preachers to come in. But if you were to dedicate yourself to a study of the chapters of the New Testament, now I know Psalm 8's Old Testament, I'm talking about the New Testament. Get this, preacher, watch the math, it's beautiful. The New Testament has got 260 chapters. 260. If you were to study one chapter a week, my, who could learn a wealth of data if you study the chapter a week, a whole week in the chapter. If you could get a young preacher to dedicate himself to study a chapter a week, starting at Matthew 1, and then go to Matthew 2, and Matthew, the whole 260 chapters. Get this. There are precisely 260 weeks in 5 years. 5 years. The Russians had it when they first went under communism. It's a bad sense. The five-year program. Well, I've got a suggestion for a five-year program that'll be a good one. Chapter a week of the New Testament. And in 5 years. I don't know that I could say you would have mastered it, but you sure would have learned a lot about it.
Amen.
All I'm saying is this. We ought to be studying the Word of God. Always. And that's the beauty. That'll be the enjoyment of this week. And let me emphasize that. I do plan on enjoying our time together.
Amen.
Psalm 8, it is a chapter. Then I want to say this, it's not only a chapter, it is. And it's not only divinely inspired.
Yeah.
See if you agree, I know you will. All scripture is given by inspiration.
Amen.
Yeah. And you know the word. In Greek and in Latin, our English word inspired is a Latin term. It means breathed into. In Latin, spiro, S-P-I-R-O, means breathe, and I-N, the prefix, the preposition, means this way.
Right.
To breathe into an inspired book.
Yeah.
But the real question is this. Whose breath?
Yeah.
Who breathed into it?
Right.
And I know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Almighty God.
Yeah.
Breathed himself.
Yeah.
Into his book.
Yes, sir.
Jesus is called, and right, and the Word was made flesh, he dwelt among us.
Yes,
Jesus is the living Word of God.
Amen.
That is the written Word of God.
Amen.
And the written Word of God testifies to the living Word of God. But I'm still not saying what I want to. It's not only a chapter, and it's not only God breathed, but it is, and it's a beautiful one. It is a poem.
Yeah.
It doesn't show up in English, but should we view it in Hebrew, it is set apart as poetry. It has cadence. It has rhythm. There is a timing that is absolutely awesome. I can't believe this. We're going to study a poem. I never was real fond of poetry. Couldn't get into it like I guess I should have. But boy, we're going to get into a poem this week.
Amen.
And by the way, I know the poet.
Amen.
Makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
a poem. But it's not just a poem. It is a song. We'll see that as we get into its beautiful wording, its terminology. It is a song. And what does that mean? God, for some reason, and he doesn't do this certainly with every chapter in the Bible, and he doesn't even do it with every psalm in the Bible. But this one, he has particularly set aside to be sung when Israel gathers to worship. You know, God would have Israel worship him at seven special times during the year. Leviticus 23, we're not going into that, outlines them. Seven national holidays, as it were. During those times, they would gather. Three times a year by law, by requirement, they would gather in Jerusalem. For a week at a time, 3 weeks in Jerusalem worshiping God, mandated. And they would sing songs such as these. 200, 300 voice choirs pealing out the words to these, only the ones God chose, songs, hymns. And Psalm 8 is among that list. It's one of them. What a chapter of Scripture. Psalm 8. This week, I already said I want to preach through the Psalm that I do, and it's beautiful. This thing is not only beautiful for what it says, it's beautiful for how it says it. It is perfectly balanced. I'll say this, and somebody will say amen on general principles. There's not a word out of place.
Amen.
It bears the mark of an exquisite author.
Yes, indeed.
And I trust we will enjoy its beauty. I have been overwhelmed studying how Psalm 8 is positioned exactly where it is in the Psalter. I'll use that word some. Psalter, P-S-A-L-T-E-R. It is merely a noun that means the book of Psalms. All of the hymns, 150, put together, a compilation, the Psalter. Where it is positioned in the Psalter. I might even refer to it this morning. More likely it'll be tonight. Why is Psalm 8 after Psalm 7 and before Psalm 9? And I'm not talking the math here. I mean, you have no choice to be after 7 and before 9. If you're I'm not talking math. I'm talking about its sequence, its subject matter. The Holy Ghost, could have put it this way, has set it up to be right where it is. And why is Psalm 8? There is good reason to believe, and I'll try to show you later. There is good reason to believe the first 10 Psalms, 10, form a, get this word, subgroup in the Psalter. Oh my, my, my. I have said this in the pulpit. And Debbie, I'm fixing to quit saying it. I have said this numerous times. The book of Psalms is hard to see any order. It just looks like the Holy Ghost flung them out. The Psalms of praise are scattered. The Psalms of imprecation are scattered. There does not seem to be any order. But in preparing for this series, I see order in the Psalms as I have never seen it before.
Bless
you, Lord. See if you'll amen this. I do believe God knows what He's up to.
Amen.
Even in the arrangement of the Psalms. And I didn't know people had studied it to the extent they have. And I didn't know as much literature had been written on the sequencing of the Psalms. Psalm 8 is in that first subgroup, Psalms 1 through 10. I will somehow, with the slide, I will somehow try to show you what I mean. It is beautiful. Hey, this might work. You got a diamond ring. Say it's a carat, 2 carat, 3, make it anything you want to. And it's been cut, it's been polished, and that stone is lovely. But it is made more lovely, well, I get an amen, by the way it is mounted.
Amen.
By the setting around
it.
Well, Psalm 8 is solid gold. It is pure diamond. But oh, the setting enhances its loveliness. That's what I'm trying to say, I think. So, this morning, it is my goal to introduce, is that the word? Psalm 8.
I'm going to read to you Psalm 8. I guess that'll make 202 times or something like that. For what it's worth, that's a record. We've never come to a service. I don't always know in advance. We were in a meeting in Candler, North Carolina, a few weeks back. Lovely church. And the preacher texted me a week ahead and said, tell us what to start reading. And I prayed and prayed and could not get leadership. Then he wanted to know the Wednesday night prayer. And I said, preacher, if I can, I'll let you know. But I couldn't. And I didn't have full liberty until the Saturday before the meeting started. Then it's too late to get the word out. But for some reason, God gave me clear leadership for Valley View for this week.
Amen.
Psalm 8. So I've never come in on a Sunday morning with it having been read as many times. Another gentleman standing right here said I've got 50, I believe it's 53 times in the room. I like it. I'd like to make this psalm part of my, well, I get it in, part of my spiritual experiences.
Amen.
I tell you what I believe. And I believe it of all God's Word. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
In both instances, the word there for powerful or power is dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. It's a Greek word. And what this dunamis means, it comes from the verbal background means to be able. To be able. It's one of those great strengths. The Word of God is dunamis. It is powerful. So it's all made. It is the Word of God. And dunamis gives to us our English word, power. Dunamis. Dynamite. Dunamis. Dynamite.
Yeah.
Psalm 8, by Bible definition, is pure dynamite.
Amen.
Spiritually.
Amen.
In our souls. I tell you what I believe. There is in Psalm 8 the capability of changing our, this has become a common word, worldview.
Amen.
Changing our worldview. It can absolutely and radically alter the way I see life.
Right. Amen.
I'm not so sure that it doesn't really tell us why we are here at this time on this planet. I know this. God had something to do with it.
Amen.
Why? We are here. Look down at this beautiful little poem, if you will. And I think, oh, there it is. Read it there, or follow right in the Word of God. Oh Lord, our Lord. Now, I can't discuss it, but I want you to notice those two words. O Lord, our Lord.
Yeah.
They are essentially the same in English, spelled the same way. I mean, how can you spell Lord? O Lord, our Lord. But in our King James Bible, if you glance down at your copy, I think you'll notice a minute difference. The first Lord, that's got a little inexpensive Bible. The L, O, R, and D are all capitalized.
Right.
Now I want to point this out. In your Bible, the O, R, and D might be slightly smaller, but look carefully. They are nonetheless capitalized.
Right. Yeah.
And then the second occurrence of Lord, our Lord, the O and R and D are not lowercase. They are not capitalized.
Right, right.
That is our King James Bible's way of telling us two different words are being used for Lord. There's no doubt He's Lord. Hope I get an amen here. But He's Lord in a lot of different ways.
Amen.
Oh Lord, our Lord. We'll talk about that. I guess we better try tonight, hadn't we? Verse 1. How excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Yeah.
Does anybody agree with that?
Amen.
How excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Yeah,
yes. I mean, let me qualify. It either is excellent right now in all the earth, or it's going to be one of these days. As far as the psalmist is concerned, it already is.
That's right.
How excellent is thy name in all the earth. This is fudging, but I want to do it. Look down at verse 9. O Lord, all caps. O Lord, lowercase. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. I don't have the world's greatest memory, but I'll tell you this. I've seen that before. Verse 1 and verse 9 are identical in that line. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now. So what, preacher Bagwell? This is writing at its best. This is a literary technique called inclusio. May I spell that word just like it sounds? I-N-C-L-U-S-I-O. Don't try to type it with a computer. It won't let it stand. It'll re-spell it every time. I-N-C-L-U-S-I-O. And what is inclusio? Sort of carries the idea of parentheses. Mark. Sort of carries the idea of bookends.
Yeah.
When a body of literature, and that's what time made is. By the way, it's Bible, it's Holy Ghost written, but it is beautiful literature as well.
Amen.
My. Elizabethan English, polished, exquisite in its expressions. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, inclusio. It is the author's way, beginning and ending with the same thought, to indicate what the overarching emphasis is going to be in the whole body, the whole corpus that is being presented. This thing, every verse, it's got something to do with the name of Almighty God. Oh, I need to add a word. The excellent name of Almighty God.
Amen.
And it's not just God editorially. It's not just God who is there. It's, oh Lord, hope I get an amen, our Lord.
Amen.
How excellent is thy name? Hear my nurse, isn't it? In all the earth. Well, there are billions today who worship Allah.
That's right.
And He's not Jehovah.
That's right. No.
There are also billions who worship a Buddha in some form or another. And He's not Jehovah. There are billions of Hindus who worship countless gods and goddesses. They do not equal Jehovah.
Amen.
Either.
Amen. That's right.
There are hundreds of, in fact, millions who pray to and seek heaven by means of Mary, a good woman, Mary, the virgin. But Mary is not Jehovah, ladies and gentlemen. I can't tell you, oh Lord, our Lord, right now, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Not so.
Right.
Not yet.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to need an amen, but I don't want to beg for it. So. But it's going to be one of these days at all.
Amen.
Yes,
sir.
Yes.
Oh my, Paul, you know, he gets a little extra. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And all the earth.
Amen.
It just dawns on me, I'm supposed to be reading the text. Verse 1, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Watch this. Out of the mouth of babes, little babies, infants, could be little children, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, still on the bottle, hast thou ordained, hast thou established strength. My goodness, strength. Because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. What is that verse about? Is this God's name so excellent? Is His power so great that He can take an infant, a baby, and shut the mouth of His enemies?
Amen.
Yeah. I'm thinking of one. His daddy's name was Amram, and his mama's name was Jochebed. He was born in hard times. The midwives were supposed to kill him soon as he saw daylight. But that didn't happen. His mama and daddy believed he was a goodly child.
Amen.
Some of you, I guess, it's Moses.
Yeah.
Baby. Kicking it home long as they could, but then it got so, you know, little boys. And so they built a little boat, a little ark out of bulrushes and pushed him out into the, oh my goodness, the Nile River.
Yeah.
The crocodiles up there, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time to tell the whole story. God took that little baby, and he sure whopped Pharaoh upside the head.
That's right.
I'm taking 10 plagues.
Right.
I'm thinking of an army drowned dead,
yes, that's right,
in the middle of the ocean.
That's right. That's right.
Out of the mouths of babies, thou hast ordained strength.
All right.
It's
yes.
Over.
Yes.
I shouldn't go here, but I'm thinking of another little baby.
Bless you, Lord.
This birth is the most unique ever. Born of a virgin.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
And what did God do with that baby? I'd say He whooped the devil with that baby. Took care of the enemy. Out of the mouth, so my. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, I ordained. Verse 3. And what brings this on? I don't know. All we're doing is reading it, but I throw in a little something every now and then. We go from an awesome God, His name is excellent, to how this great God can take babies and make heroes, make conquerors out of us. And then, look at it, third verse. When I consider the heavens.
Yeah.
The heavens. I didn't have enough sense to start off right and tell you who wrote the thing. It's a son, David. And before David became a king, will I get an amen? He was a little shepherd boy.
Amen.
Shepherd boys They'd spend weeks with their flock out in the desert, heading to the meadowlands and the pasture. They'd sleep with their flock and have television or newspapers. You'd lay down at dusk, and all you could see was the nighttime sky. The stars. The moon. I don't know. And by the way, David's pretty sure he knows who created those things.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's right.
I think he's convinced it's the Lord, our Lord, whose name is excellent in all the earth.
Amen.
Verse 3, when I consider, oh, it didn't say the heavens. I misread that. It's not the heavens. Thy heavens.
Yeah.
David believes God owns every bit of it.
Yeah.
When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy arms, the work of thy, it didn't say the work of thy arms, the work of thy great hands, it didn't say that, the work of thy fingers.
That's right.
The work of thy fingers.
That's right. Right.
Creating Jupiter, Mars. Will I get an answer? No problem to God.
Amen.
Finger work.
Right. Amen,
the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. I'm going to talk about it later when I get to it. But that word ordained, it's got the idea of set in motion.
That's right.
It's got this idea, program.
Yes, that's right. That's it.
Yep. David had never seen a telescope.
Yep.
Never heard of Copernicus.
Right.
Or Galileo. But he knew there is some order.
Yes, sir.
There is some secrets. There is some ordained timing.
Yeah.
Behind the sun, the moon. He didn't mention the sun. It's a nighttime song. The moon and the stars. Job later will name some of the constellations God. Being that, right, if God created all those stars, innumerable, not my opinion. Astronomers today still say they are innumerable. If God did that, and that's not an if of doubt, let me change it. Since God did that, I say His name is excellent.
Amen.
In all the earth.
Amen, brother.
Where are we, verse? Oh, oh my, this thing is full of shifts. You'd say, David, speak with something. Stay with your subject. He's gone from the stars now. Verse 4. What is man? Us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Does anybody believe God is mindful of you this morning?
Amen.
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 That's right.
In another place, the psalmist says, we can't even number thy thoughts toward us. Can I just say, you're saved today, God knows you.
Amen.
You're saved here this morning, Isaiah 49 says, God has written your name in the palm of His hand.
Amen.
He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows when a sparrow falls from the sky. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I'm pretty sure he even knows the burden you're carrying.
That's
this
right.
Year.
Amen. That's right, man.
That's good.
Yes, sir. That's right.
This man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Oh, boy, we got a lot of fun ahead of us. This Old Testament psalm, and that's where our text is. The Holy Spirit, when Paul, I'm going to say Paul, if you disagree, that's it. When Paul writes the book of Hebrews, he gets to chapter 2. And the Holy Ghost says, I want you to quote from Psalm 8. Here, the Son of Man, that's just another way of saying, what is man? A human being. And when we get to Hebrews chapter 2, Son of Man, I'll need some amen. Some of you are with me. Son of Man takes on a new dimension.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
That's Jesus' favorite name for himself.
Amen.
Son of Man.
Yes.
80 plus times in Mark alone, he's the Son of Man. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
We're going to watch the Holy Ghost interpret Psalm 8, New Testament style. And it's going to be exciting. Verse 5. Oh, we're still on me. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Just a little lower than the angels. Hey, I got to say this. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then all of a sudden, we see that this great God with his fingers has made the stars. And they are still discovering galaxies.
Yes, that's right.
In this universe.
That's right. Amen.
They're two planned now, but not yet launched new telescopes. And with ever increasing power, they see more than we ever realized. And God created every single one of those stars. And so you know what I'm thinking? God created and told them how to build the tabernacle. That took 16 chapters of instruction.
That's it.
Well, the stars, there's a whole lot more in the tabernacle.
That's right.
So I guess there'll be 16 chapters on how God made the stars. But there isn't.
No, that's right.
Not even one chapter.
That's right.
Not even one paragraph.
That's right.
Not even one verse.
That's right.
It says this. Hope I get an amen. And he made the stars also. And he made the stars also.
Yes.
Excuse me. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name.
Amen. That's right.
What I was going to say, we go to the stars, and then we consider man as if. Here would be my thinking. A great God, and then all this handiwork, like we're coming down. And now, finally, we're down here to the God, all the stars in heavens, and man. But that's not the way it works. It is God, none like him, does discuss the heavenly skies, the stars. But then what is man? The parent mindful of him. And the Son of Man.
That's right.
Get this, it'll knock you over. That's made him a little lower. A little lower than the angels.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Hebrew word there, I hesitate to tell you now, I want more time to discuss it. It is literally one of the words the Old Testament uses for the gods and the goddesses of this world. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew text, thou hast made him just a little lower than God. Hang on now. Boy, this is pivotal. God, supreme, almighty, sovereign, creation, the stars, the planets, the moon, the meteors, the asteroids. Then I look here to find man, and I don't find man here. I find him in a created order above the stars, above the moon, above the sun. God created you. God created me, or Adam and Eve, and thus we're the byproducts, and he put us on a position. Oh my, the dignity. Psalm 8 describes the man. Man is God's. Woman is God's. I hope I get it. Crowning work of creation.
Amen.
I guess you could say God saved the best to last. He didn't make man on day 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, day 6. right before he ceased creating, right before he rested.
Yeah.
God made man. You say, good night, preacher. Is it that important to spend all this time? What is man without man? I want you to hear me. The emphasis today, politically, scientifically, philosophically, is to demote man.
That's right.
To reduce man. I'm reading a book right now. I was in Jacksonville preaching last weekend. And it's a science book. It's a scientific manual. And the man was talking, the author, brilliant scientist, PhD. He was talking about the insignificance of man in the universe. We're merely a speck. And God says, I hope you get this. God says, he's my best. He's my crowning act of creation. And when we fell into sin, you'll never guess what God did. He sent his only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross to save our souls. The dignity of mankind. I want to say this. I want to stand up here so I can see you maybe up a little bit better. You are not simply an animal.
That's right.
See, that's the line today. There's been a process, they tell me, at the University of Evolution, going on now for millions, if not billions of years. And we, so far, read an article the other day, we think we're doing pretty good, but wait a million years, oh my, how further advanced we'll be. That's not what my Bible says.
That's right.
Yep. We're merely animals. And I say this, if you can convince a generation of people that they are simply animals, they'll end up acting like animals. They'll end up living like animals. They'll end up with the morals of the animals. Ladies and gentlemen, we are more than animals. We're human beings created by, made, well again and amen, in the image of Almighty God. That comes out in Psalm 8. Wow, I don't know what verse. And that verse, that's made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. You have put all things under his feet, that sheep and oxen and the beast of the field. Oh my, I just read a dirty word. Excuse me, I'm talking about to the police. That's made him to have dominion.
That's right.
Dominion. Over the works
of
our hands. We're living in a day that has taken God's order that he has established in the universe and has sought to overturn it from top to bottom. Probably shouldn't say this, it just lets you know how old I am. I grew up when the teachers told the students what to do.
Amen, brother.
I grew up when the coach told the players what to do. I grew up where the parents told the children what to do.
Yes.
And God just said, I created man and gave him dominion, over the earth.
Amen.
That'll be an interesting sermon. Where do we get to? This is a preview. I know good and well some of you little rascals won't be back, so I'm just going to get a taste of it now. Well, there goes that. And then we're back to verse 9. Then I read verse 8, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whatsoever man is to have dominion.
Yeah.
Boy, do I say it or not?
Say it, bro.
Man is more important than a whale.
Right.
And don't misunderstand me. I don't have any problems with whales. But man, in God's eyes, is far superior.
Amen.
I love trees. So much of the Bible, a godly man will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Yes.
I love them. But a tree is never more important than a human being. Verse 9, we better go to verse 9. Can y'all believe I've been standing here 43 minutes and 51 seconds? Wow. To me, it seems like 5 minutes. Probably to some of you, it seems like an hour and 49 minutes. That's the ones that are not coming back. Verse 9. Oh Lord, our inclusio. Oh Lord, our Lord. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now, the stars, the moon, man in his dignity, man in his God-given dominion. How can you say ever better that? He's talking about the excellency of the name of God. I'm pretty sure of this. I won't be able to absolutely document it till I get to heaven, but I believe right now the stars are praising their Creator.
Yes. Amen.
It would not surprise that the astronomers, the emissions and they say, boy, it almost sounds musical.
Yes,
right. You forget the word almost, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me, there's a hallelujah chorus going on.
Yeah.
That's
right. That's good. Yes, sir.
Isaiah says, when Jesus comes again, the trees will clap their hands in praise. Oh, yeah. Nature knows her master.
That's right.
I mean, all that about the stars. How excellent. And man, little Lord and the angels, crowned with dignity and honor, and it's to be the ruler, the master of the earth. You know why we're here? You know why he made us? Well, I get an amen. To praise his name.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
If all of this is anywhere near correct, it means the whole psalm is about the excellency of the name of the Lord. I got to close with him. We sure better not go around taking his name in vain.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. You know what? I think we probably go too long in our lives without thinking about his name and adoring his name and worshiping his name and praising his name.
Amen.
Dale Carnegie, he's dead, many, many years ago, wrote a book, it shook American business, How to Win Friends and Influence People. He began that book with the importance of learning a person's name.
Yeah.
He gave some little memory prompts on how to remember their name. And then he suggested in the first conversation you ever had with them, call their name 3 or 4 times. A person's name. He said this, probably said amen. He said the sweetest word in the language of any individual is his name. Well, you handle that pretty good. The old boy may be on to something there. We love our name. at all. I'm not preaching about my name this week.
Amen.
I'm not discussing your name this week.
That's right.
I'm talking, will I get a name? I'm talking about the name of all names this
Amen.
Week.
Amen.
How excellent
yes.
is thy name.
Yes.
Now I've got to do one more thing. This is about 2 minutes. Can y'all make it? Go back, just look right there in your Bible. I want you to notice how Psalm 7 ends. Have you got it in front of you? Look at Psalm 7, verse 17. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. Could I just interject that? That'll be a whole lot of praising then, won't it?
Amen.
I'll praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to Thee and will sing praise to Thee. Give it to me.
Name.
The name of the Lord Most High.
Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 7 ends emphasizing His name.
Yeah.
And what does Psalm 8 do? First verse and the last verse, how excellent is thy name.
Amen.
Wow.
Look at Psalm 9.
Wow.
Look at Psalm 9. Yeah, you got it up there, too. To the chief musician upon Muth Oven, a psalm of David. Oh boy, we'll have to talk about that later. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I'll show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy, help me, to Thy what?
Name.
Name. O Thou Most High. You see it?
Yes.
Psalm 7 ends with His name. Psalm 9 begins praising His name, and Psalm 8 starts and finishes, how excellent is Thy name. I want to say it, best amen of the morning. I hope we're going to be studying the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The excellency of His great name.
Amen.
Had a preacher get a little upset at me, this kind of preacher. He said, that's whipped cream preaching. That's what he called it. Sweet, sweet, sweet. He said, we need some cornbread preaching. He was sort of being negative toward me. That's what I'm making an announcement. Whipped cream can be good. Right place at the right time and the right amount. Call it what, there will be some cornbread in this psalm too. A whole week. Forget who's preaching. That doesn't matter. A whole week in one chapter of the Word of God.
Amen, brother.
Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes together. Our musicians will come. Would you quietly stand with us across the congregation? I'm going to ask them to softly play what our song leader has felt led to use as our final song, our invitation. And I'm going to ask you,